Today I want to begin a new series called Truth Stands. Truth Stands. And we live in an interesting age when truth has kind of become fluid. There's no solid rocks out there in the world, but there is a solid rock at the right hand of the Father. And that's the important thing. Here's what I know, and you should know, and that is this. God wants all men to come to truth. And when I say men, I want that men inclusive to all humanity. God wants all humanity to come to truth. Amen? Lord, speak to our hearts in the next few minutes. Speak to us. Help us to receive your truth and help us to live it out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, it's probably a familiar verse with some of you. It says this, "Therefore I exhort, first of all, that you make supplications, prayers, and intercessions, and thanksgiving for everyone." Amen. That means you should be praying for the person next to you. Praying for you got everybody. Doesn't say if you like them or not. Says pray for them. Amen? For kings and all those who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, who our Savior, who desires all men to be saved. What's God want? All men to be saved. That's his heart. That's what he wants. And to come to the knowledge of truth. And to come to the knowledge of truth. Yes. I kind of like Christianity like this. Christianity is the highway of truth. Highway of truth. And for many of us, to get on that truth, there's an on-ramp. You don't instantaneously, well, I've seen some people try to get on the on-ramp and stop. Have you been behind that person before? I mean, you'd like to say, get off the road, please. You know, because you got to get up to speed to get in the lane to maintain. And that's the same thing with the gospel. You and I have to learn to give permission for people to run on the on-ramp and jump into the lanes of truth. And sometimes we're not willing to do that in the kingdom of God. And so this is what happens. Because the truth is this. To accept the truth of Jesus Christ, a lot of people have to deconstruct what they've established in their mind as truth. Because what they've established in their mind is truth is not the truth at all. It's the lie that the enemy has held them captive with. So God has to deconstruct that lie so that they can get on an on-ramp and begin. And how many know when you're getting on the on-ramp, sometimes if you haven't ran at light speed in relationship to the truth, it takes a little while to get there. And we who are running in the truth have to be patient with those who are on the on-ramp getting up to speed. Amen? But our job is to know the truth. Come to the knowledge of truth. God wants all to come to the truth. This is what the scripture says. We're to walk in the truth. We're to be clothed with truth. We're to speak the truth in love. That is very important for us to do. Because, you know, it doesn't do you good to walk up to a stranger on the street and say, "Hey, you're going to hell." I mean, that may be true, but I don't know if it's speaking the truth in love. Are you with me? You got to give them a chance to be it on the on-ramp. And some Christians give people excuses never to take the ramp. Because of their attitude in relationship with the truth. Because if you don't speak the truth in love, you're cutting people off their chance to get on. That's why it's important that we speak the truth in love. That means this. Sometimes you don't have to tell the true truth right at the beginning. What do you mean, Pastor Larry? When someone says to you, do you believe in gay marriage? Well, my first response to that would be, well, let's talk about that. Let's start a conversation. Let's get to know one another. Let's have a dialogue about what God's intent. Do you believe in God? Before you slam them with what the real truth is. Now, the problem with that is your conservative buddies who know the truth are going to be mad at you because you didn't slam dunk somebody. Are you with me? Listen, you and I have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. You and I have to speak the truth in love. And sometimes that means being patient for people to catch up to what they're willing to and ready to receive. Because sometimes they got to deconstruct what thoughts they've had, what truth they've established, or lies they've established in their mind as reality. And that takes time. Be patient with people in coming to the knowledge of the truth. Matter of fact, the scripture says God is patient, not wanting any to perish. Don't you just love that? And we ought to have that same heart. Huh? So we're to speak the truth in love. We're to rejoice in truth. That's what worship is all about. Matter of fact, the scripture says for us as believers, what do? We put off falsehood and we put on truth. How many of you know some Christians who had a little trouble with lying? Huh? I mean, they try their best, but every now and then they stumble over the... How many of you know lying never succeeds? I mean, you always find your lie right in front of you later on. You'll trip over it. And everybody else will know it way before you do. So why? What does that mean? Put off falsehood, begin to walk in truth, speak the truth in love, and live a life of truth. Amen? Here's what the Bible says. The truth is, once you know the truth and get on that, how many of you know there's just, as there are on-ramps, there are off-ramps. And the scripture says, you can be strayed from the truth. Well, how does that happen? From your heart. If you don't guard your heart, if you don't guard your mind, your thoughts, how many of you know the matter of fact, James puts it this way. No one should blame God for your sin. Your sin happens because you are led away by the lust of your heart, your flesh. Can't blame you. You can be strayed from the truth. You can reject the truth. You can resist the truth. The Bible says this over and over again. So what's the problem with truth? I mean, Jesus is standing before Pilate, and Pilate asking this question, what is truth? Listen, there is a great need in our society for men and women to live the truth. Because listen, they're not going to listen to you until you learn to live it. Then you can speak it in truth. Amen? Jeremiah 17:19 says this, because here's the problem with truth. It's my heart. It's your heart. Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is more deceitful than all things and desperately wicked. Who can understand it? What's your heart? It's deceitful. What's your heart? It's wicked. What's your heart? It's ununderstandable. Now, can I tell you something? That flies in the face of what we've been told. Because you're special. You're smart. There's nobody like you. You special little thing. And then the Bible comes along and says, you're a sinner. The Bible says, you're lost and need a Savior. Can I tell you the gospel is counter-culture? The culture is trying to build you up in who you are and in your self-esteem. And you and I know the only way you can find your identity and purpose is to know the Creator by which you've been created by and for which you have been created for. And it's until you know him and he does his work of redemption and grace and mercy in your heart and your life, you begin to see what you were created for. Then you understand your value, your worth in the sight of God. It's an amazing, majestic thing God does in our lives. But the world would love you to be trapped in this identity that is surrounded upon your own talents, your own abilities, your own uniqueness. Oh, don't get me wrong. God loves you while you were yet a sinner. God loved you. How do you know God? Because he died on the cross. Even in your lies, he died for you. Isn't that beautiful? This idea of having a deceitful heart. The word means crooked. Polluted. Polluted. Polluted by what? By sin. Polluted by what? Self-interest. Polluted. Yeah. So here's what we're told in the world. Ready? Follow your heart. The Bible just said your heart is deceitful. Crooked. Polluted. And you want to follow that. Guess where that's going to be? Not in a good place. Here's what you're told in the world. Follow your dreams. Dreams flow out of a deceitful heart. How do you know what to follow? What they're really telling you is to follow your feelings. Now, I don't know about you, but my feelings kind of go like this. I don't know about you. My feelings depend on a lot of things. Whether I slept or not, or whether I was able to eat or not on time. How many of you men say amen? Yeah, the rest of you are afraid of it. Hey, Rich Mullins had a song. It went like this. When I turned to the world, they gave me this advice. They said, boy, must follow your heart. But my heart just led into my chest. They said, follow your nose, but the direction changed every time I turned my head. And they said, boy, you just follow your dreams, but my dreams were only misty notions. But the Father of hearts and the maker of noses and the giver of dreams, he's the one I have chosen, and I will follow him. Amen? Yeah. You see, the heart has this ability not only to deceive and be deceived. And it relies only on itself. That's what we call subjective reasoning. When everything that you believe is all about what's inside you and how you feel and what you think and what's going on in your life and your history. The truth, the word of God outside of you, the knowledge of God outside of you, creates a different picture of who you are and what you are. Matter of fact, God so loved you, he says, through his redemption, your history doesn't have to determine your future. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You see, this emotional world that you live in, all your future is tied on what somebody did to you. And I don't want to make fun of that, because some people have been deeply wounded through living in this world. Why? Because somebody's heart was wicked, polluted, and hurt them unmercifully. And the world doesn't have an answer for that kind of woundedness. But thanks be to God, who through the Lord Jesus Christ knows how to heal wounded hearts. Glory to God. He knows how to do that. You know, our truth is not based on what we feel. Our truth is not based on my desires. Truth is not based on my internal perceptions. No. I'm telling you, if you live your life that way, nothing really matters except for yourself. All this heart leading leads to indifference toward the truth, indifference to others, Because the only thing that matters is my way, and it becomes a very selfish world. And a selfish world is a very limited world. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to this verse, two verses, 11 and 12. Therefore, God will send them a strong delusion. He's talking about the last days. All right? They will should believe the lie, that they might be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you see what happens? They don't believe the truth, and therefore they think they can have pleasure in unrighteousness, but unrighteousness never made anybody happy long term. Because the Bible says this, there's pleasure in sin for a season. For a season. Yeah. All this heart leading is how people come to manufacture their own truth. And don't get me wrong, the world's good at it, but so is the church. We manufacture theology based on what we like. Huh? We like prosperity. Every Christian can be a prosperous. I mean, we know how to manufacture our theology based on the crookedness of our own heart. You and I have to be lovers of the truth even when it penetrates our heart and begins to cut us and cone us around the image of Jesus. Because that's the destiny that God wants for us. We have to be very careful about that. You know, we can develop a theology that says God doesn't want anybody to suffer. I'm sorry, but the scripture says all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You can't slice and dice the truth and take what you want and leave what you... Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. But the truth is, you can create your own idols because of the deception of the heart. Yeah. And when that happens, facts don't matter. Isaiah 59, verses 14 through 15. Justice is turned backward, and righteousness stands far off. For truth is fallen in the streets, and equity, that means fairness or justice, cannot enter. Truth is lacking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Man, do you know what? A guy was kicked off the out of class the other day at a university because he said there was only two sexes. He said there was only two sexes, boy and girl, and got kicked out of class. I'm telling you, that's the world we're living in where truth is gone. It's evacuating. Why? Because all that mattered, we made an idol of our feelings. I feel like this before. I feel, and here's an amazing observation. Look at a tree today. You go outside and you look at a tree. You know what's an amazing thing? That pine tree in my front yard has never declared itself to be a rose. You can go across Christian. The porpoise never said, I want to be a bass. The only people that will ever do that is us. Humanity. Created in the image of God. Why? Because if God wants you to come to the knowledge of truth, the enemy wants you where? Opposite of what God wants. Opposite of what God plans. Are you with me on that? Yeah. All this heart leading leads to unrighteousness. Isaiah 46, verse 2. Listen to me, you stubborn hearted. I've been there. You? You stubborn hearted. You who are far from righteousness. And then a stubbornness of a heart. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 11 to 12. But they refused to pay attention and turned a stubborn shoulder. And stopped their ears so that they could not hear. They made their hearts hard like a diamond so as not to hear the instruction, the words of the Lord of hosts sent by his Spirit through former prophets. And there was a great anger from the Lord of hosts. So what happens? Truth has no bearing on a deceitful heart on how you live. And the Bible calls us to something totally different. Let's go to the temptation for a moment. In the garden, can you imagine being Adam? No, you can't. Just think about it. Just when God parades all the animals in front of him, he names them all. He names them all. Can you imagine that? Just naming all. Here's not the problem for me. He names all the animals. Then he remembers their name. I mean, that is pretty good, don't you think? Huh? I have a couple questions about that, you know. Giraffe. Adam, how'd you get giraffe out of that? Why not long neck? Small head? Giraffe? But he got all that. I mean, he just named everything. And then the serpent shows up in the garden and begins to... Listen, Genesis 2, 12, 16. Look, and the Lord commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely, certainly die. So the serpent comes to Eve, and it's quite a conversation. You should read it. And God, Eve repeats to the serpent the thing, only she adds something to it. God said, if we touch it, you're going to die. And the enemy said, you're not going to die. How many know you don't? When you sin, you don't die. Normally. Yeah, thank you. Do you understand? It's kind of like, here's the illustration I love. The law of gravity. The law of gravity is an amazing thing. You can jump off the building and declare yourself all you want. There's no, this is wonderful. It's free. It's amazing. There's no such thing as gravity. But sooner or later, the ground's going to catch you. And that's the way sin is. You can play around with it. You can do all this. You can do this. You can do that. You can do that. You can do that. But I'm going to tell you, the wages of sin is always death. And you may have it free for a season, for a moment, for a sliver of time. But eventually, you're going to pay the penalty of what God said. Because God is truth. Amen? Yeah. I got to hurry because you guys are hungry. See, what the serpent basically tells Eve, God's trying to withhold something from you. If you just, you know, God, you can be like God if you eat this fruit. Huh. Eat this and your eyes will be opened. You'll be like God, knowing good and evil. Knowing, do you understand, Eve? You're deficient in what you know. Anybody ever felt that way? Genesis 3:6. Listen, and when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and for food and pleasing to the eye and so desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of it and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Here's what we, good and useful is what we call utilitarian. And that means it's useful. And if it's useful, it's got to be good. How many of you know that's not always true? Sometimes we look at the end results. Oh, I can gain a lot of money from that. It's a great investment. But it really doesn't matter if you ripped half the people off to get to that. The end result is all that you mattered. How many of you know that's not a way to live in truth? That's deceptive and wicked. Yeah, it's good. It's pleasing to the eye. That'll get you in trouble all the time. Pleasurable. It goes to the senses. Gaining wisdom. Gaining something you don't have. The enemy helps you magnify your lack. Because tell me, was Adam wise? He just named all the animals. It's an amazing mental ability that he had. And the enemy comes and says, you know, if you eat this fruit, you'll have more knowledge. Isn't that where the enemy works in you too? The very thing you possess, the very thing that God has given you, he tells you you don't have enough of. You know, if you did this, you'd have more fun. If you did this, you'd have more fun. I'm going to tell you, there's fun in living for God. There's fun in living for the truth. I've had more happiness and laughter and joy in my life than I could ever imagine. And sometimes I laugh at the stupidest things. But you know what? When your heart is free and you're walking in truth, you can laugh. You can have joy that is sustainable beyond how you feel. Yeah. What did they do? Eve was willing to abandon God's truth to become wise. They ate and their eyes were opened and they saw what was always there. Their nakedness. But now it was different. Because they knew something they didn't know before. And now the nakedness was no longer good in their eyes. They had to make a fig leaf. We're still trying to cover our sin, by the way. They knew. A new reality had came to their lives. They lost purity. They lost innocence. They lost paradise. Anyone who believes the lie, the misrepresentation of truth, will always come to a new reality of life. God made me this way. Will always come to a new reality of living. It's okay. We can justify a lot of things. We will always, and then we have to manufacture new rules to live by. And in today's culture, no rules is the new rule. It's the culture of radical individualism. What did I say? No, that is not what I said. I said radical individualism. Radical individualism. It's just not, I'm my own man. No, you don't want to be your own man. You want to be everything else. Radical. You want to deny the very thing that God makes beautiful. And you know what that means? Nothing is special in a world with no rules. The women aren't special. The men aren't special. Nobody's special. But I'm going to tell you, in God's world, in God's truth, you are special. Amen? And it leads to the same things they lost in the garden. Purity lost into a radical individualism that doesn't care for others. What matters is my own personal fulfillment and experience. It doesn't matter who I kill in the process. Innocence lost. Can I tell you right now, the average boy begins his porn adventure at age 11. Can I tell you right now that the average teenager spends 9 hours a day in front of a screen? Can I tell you most Americans spend 95% of their time indoors? Paradise lost, a new bondage is discovered, a slavery to the new experience, a slavery to the next sexual experiment, a slavery to what everyone else is doing. Can I have a Tide Pod, please? I'm telling you, it's crazy what people are going to do in the future. Why? Because everything is based upon how I feel and what I think. You and I have to come to the place where truth matters in our lives. And that truth is the Word of God. That truth is the personhood of Jesus Christ, who declared, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen? And when you know that, there's a great freedom. Because you know why? There's something about a life that's free that has the smile of God. Aren't you glad you have the smile of God? Amen? Praise God. Here's the deal. Gravity happens. One day we're all going to come face to face with the truth. His name is Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. And so thankful that I live in a world with guardrails. I've chosen those guardrails. Grace and truth. Because he came full of grace and full of truth. We live in a world that doesn't want guardrails, thinks guardrails are too restrictive and too limiting. But I'm going to tell you something. There's something so powerful about truth and grace that sets me free. Hallelujah. Isn't that what Jesus said? If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Why does he have that ability? Because he is truth. The truth sets men free. You and I need to understand we're standing on truth. Truth stands and will be standing when everybody is denying the very fact that truth even exists. But I'm going to tell you, the reality is going to show up. Its conclusion is not going to change. Yes, because one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. If you have not merged onto the highway of truth, you ought to start. And if you're tempted to take the off-ramp, remember the God who saved you. Remember him who sacrificed so much for you to live, run, and be free on this highway with the guardrails of truth and grace. Would you stand with me, please?